Caucasian immigrants, they would have been a very powerful force in California. See what happened to the Italians. They own all the vineyards and all the controlling finances in San Francisco, all the Italians. They were immigrants.
Did they mail them back to China? Did most people send some?
Yeah, they do. A large percentage of them have families in China, and they send money back.
You don't have any more relatives in China?
No.
Oh, you did not?
Oh, wait. If we do, they weren't in any circumstances that we needed to send them money.
Mm-hmm. Did you keep in touch with them?
I didn't, but my older brother and my mother did, in a way. They kept in touch with us, more or less. They sent us money, which is unusual.
Yes, that is unusual.
But because I think from my father's side of the family, they had some property in Shanghai. Yeah. And I don't know what the story is, but they were sending her some pittance every year, I imagine, from the rental. And probably being the female part, she probably got the least. And I think she was lucky to get that.
Do you know of any Chinese who supported the revolution in China or got involved in politics? Chinese politics?
You thought about Kuomintang?
Either one.
Do I know of any?
Yeah, do you know of any
Chinese? I think at that time, talking about before World War II, I would say a substantial percentage of them were either directly or indirectly involved with some politics in China. I've heard of it before, that they were involved in the revolution with Sun Yat-sen. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit before my time. This is from the stories here.
Did you know of any of your friends who were involved in politics in the early 40s or the late 30s? Now, those who were here.
The ones were here.
And did they participate in, like, donating money to the nationalist government?
Yes, they were supposed to donate, I think, a day's wages.
Every month?
Yeah, something like that.
Did you do that?
I sort of balked against that because I wasn't sure where the money was going to. But I think I finally did donate a day's wages. They were supposed to take care of the sending the money back.
Right.
This is back in 1930, in the late 30s.
Late
30s. Yeah, mid 30s.
Did you participate in the 1941 Moon Festival?
That was part of it.
Did you donate money at that time?
Well, I don't remember whether I did or not, but the community did.
So, in other words, the Chinese community was quite active during that time in supporting China in the war against the Japanese.
Yeah, in supporting the mother country, yes.
Do you think, on the whole, the Chinese have done better or worse than the general population in Los Angeles?
When you say general population, you include the Caucasians, Hispanics, and that? I would say they are a little bit under the Caucasians economically. I think they're better than the, on the whole, better than the Hispanics. And I'm not sure about the blacks, but I think the Chinese are either economically on par with the blacks or better.
Where do the Chinese men meet their wives?
Wherever they can get them.
Or how?
Family gatherings,
uh-huh.
Dances, social, and church gatherings. And a boy meets girl business, you know, it's either the girl is going to have to find some way to meet the boy, or the boy has to find some way to meet the girl. So it's a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah,
whether the girl acts coy and runs from the boy or not, you know, that's still her idea, is to meet the boy anyway.
Did they get their wives mostly from the American Chinese girls, or did they go back to China to get married?
very few of them go back to China to get married. The ones that go back to China to get married are the more financially affluent Chinese.
I see. Even, I'm talking
I would call them the snobs, because they always think that the girls that are born in China are better than the American-born Chinese. Because they speak Chinese and they have the Chinese traditional fundamental culture.
Even though they themselves may be born here?
No. The ones born here generally is more attuned to the domestic scene. You know, they marry amongst the American families.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the older, the wealthier Chinese that has enough money to send their son back there or buy one for them.
Buy what?
Well, they have Wuyanlema, they have a go-between, and she is supposed, whoever she or he is, supposed to make the arrangements to get a wife for the one over here.
You buy one?
Well, they gotta pay a dowry.
Oh, yeah.
To the parents.
But that doesn't really mean you buy one.
Same thing.
The bride, doesn't she come with jiazhuang?
Not that I know.
Really? It's supposed to go both ways.
Well, I suppose so, but I don't know how it works. But I understand that the generally, when they go back to China to get a bride, the father of the groom generally spends a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. I see.
For the other side's parents.
Yeah. Was that?
I've never experienced it, but this is what I've heard and what people tell me.
Mm-hmm. Once they
picture brides.
Yeah. You mean they don't actually go back there to look at them or to get?
They
them
send a picture.
And they just.
I've seen it. They send a picture and
send a picture and then they send for them.
They send the picture to the parents. The parents look at the picture and they give the background, the family background. And then the son looks, I don't know whether the son looks at the picture or not, but I assume the son looks at the picture. He likes the looks of the girl, says she's got two arms and two legs and not pock face. You know. So the father here will send the son back to go to school for a year so he could. You know how it is.
Okay.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
No, I don't. I'll go to school. That's the excuse for them.
I think that's the main excuse of the parent for the son to get a wife back there. They never said so, but I'm very sure. They generally go to Lingnama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Were the American-born Chinese just as eager to have sons as their parents?
No. Not as. Not as much as the ones that are born in the old country.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have any farms over here, you see.
Uh-huh. What did most people think of interracial marriages?
As little as possible.
Well, meaning their opinions of them. Do they look down upon a couple that are from different ethnic groups?
Well, looking down isn't actually the correct phrase. I think the fear of losing traditional family structure and culture, I would say it's fear more than looking down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, being Chinese, like I said, most Chinese are very loyal to their country. And being born in this country for so many years,
mm-hmm.
you would think that I'm so completely Americanized that I forget, but I have the same feeling. My son married a Caucasian.
How did you feel?
I was going to kill him.
Really?
I can't do it in this country. Oh, I'm telling schools stories after school, you know, I shouldn't. But
he knew that. He knew how you...
Oh, yes. Yes.
He did it anyway.
No, he didn't do it anyway. He didn't, because, you know, like most families, they don't like to be pioneers, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want my family to be a pioneer either.
I'm sure they are, but not, you know, but first.
Yes.
Oh, certainly yeah. Not last.
And like I say, I'm just like any. I have the fear of the interracial marriage.
Yeah. And they got married late, like I'm sure just a few years ago.
Oh yeah, just.
What about before World War II? Were there any cases of interracial marriages?
Oh, there's some. They were really frowned on
what?
By both parties.
Both sides of the
both
family.
Both sides. Oh yes. Oh
I
yes.
See.
There's I'm not going to mention the name.
Mm-hmm.
I think this Caucasian gentleman married a Chinese girl. Very brilliant people. They were both college graduates. And I think he lost his job because of that.
Oh, he was working for a company?
He was working for a newspaper.
And
then he got sick. And she's a very excellent journalist, and you probably read some of her articles once in a while. And they have children. Of course, things are a little bit different now.
That was before 1940s?
Well, this was in the 30s.
Oh, I see. Oh.
And like I say, from all appearances, things aren't quite that bad now, but I think, like I said before, prejudice and discrimination went into the closet. Can't change people. And we're only talking about 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a grain of sand on the beaches, you know, as far as time is concerned.
What did American-born Chinese think of Chinese schools and going back to China?
Well, they all had visions.
You didn't want to go
You said
back.
Going back. You said going back because we're not born there, you know.
Yes.
We should say go to the land of our parents. It probably is a little more appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we all look forward to it.
To visit.
If we're financially able.
Yeah, to visit, right?
Yeah, to visit. Okay. At least visit.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly to set our roots there.
Did you know of anybody who actually went back to live? American born?
I've known
World
a
War II.
Couple that went back during the Sino-Japanese War in the 30s and joined the Air Force. They married over there. I would say that they went back there to live, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Many parents feel it was important for their children who are born here to attend Chinese schools.
Yes. Even I do. But they don't.
Who don't?
My children don't.
Or they didn't.
They didn't.
Because they didn't want to.
Well, life is too easy for them. You know.
I don't understand.
They can get a job among Caucasians now without any problem,
mm-hmm.
as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
See, the old days, it's very difficult to get a job among the Caucasians, so you
mm-hmm.
have to make a living amongst your own people.
Mm-hmm.
No, do that. You got to speak Chinese. So
it was there was an economic factor as well as
right.
a cultural factor
yes.
in, say, your parents
yes.
or other people.
Yeah. It's mostly economics.
Right. So you wanted your children to go, but they just said no.
Oh, they went for a little while and. You see, they got so much now that we didn't used to have. They have TV, they can go anywhere they want without being discriminated against. That's the advantage they have that we didn't have. I can't say whether it's good or bad because I don't, of course I don't like it, but I don't think I've lost anything by being not allowed to go to certain places. Because I'll just spend my time studying, you know, amongst my own people.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. And they have a different way of enjoying themselves.
Mm-hmm. Your children now mostly associate with non-Chinese.
Oh, no. My association is still with Chinese.
Your children?
No, mostly Chinese.
Also?
Yeah.
Both you and your children?
Mostly Chinese. Even though, like my sons, he go around Japanese people and some Caucasians, they have a tendency to stick amongst their Asians with the Asians.
Oh, I see. What types of jobs would most Chinese consider to be ideal for themselves?
The one that pays the most money. As far as ideal is concerned, when it comes to economics, I don't think that the Chinese are any different than anybody else.
For example?
Most of them like the professions, the my way. Engineers, the medicines. And I would say they like to get into professions that are challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's why I mentioned engineering, the medical professions, and the, some blue collar work.
Like?
Well, like accounting, finance.
Blue collar?
Financing.
That's not blue collar.
I call it blue collar.
Blue collar to me means factory work.
Well, I call it blue collar.
Okay. What do you call white collar then?
White collar, the upper echelons.
What about for their children? What did most Chinese, I'm talking about way back, not before War II, what did most people feel was ideal for their children, or would be ideal for their children, the kind of job?
Engineering and medicine, always has been.
Mm-hmm.
Always has been.
After 19, when did you stop being working for different Caucasians and getting into your own? You were talking about getting into your own profession, and you say you don't think of it as a real profession, but rather a pseudo profession, the real estate and the insurance business.
Well, when I say pseudo profession, because anybody can get into the real estate and insurance business. It doesn't necessarily have to have a baccalaureate from
mm-hmm.
college. That's what I meant when I say pseudo profession. I don't mean to downgrade.
When did you get into this stuff, the insurance business?
Oh,
I believe you were bartender.
1939.
And there were not that many Chinese in the insurance field at that time.
No, not too many. Well, there wasn't much business for them because
mm-hmm.
the Chinese population is so limited. And we can't go out of our own Chinese community to get business.
Did you feel that this professional insurance selling was a chance to break out of stereotypical and the lower paying jobs?
Yes.
Did you consider yourself successful?
No.
I see.
see, my ideals are so high that I don't have the ability to reach it, that's why.
What? I mean, you have your own office now. This is your own business.
Well, you're talking about economics?
Mm-hmm.
You say success? Well, it depends on what one wants, isn't it? When you say success, you say, do you mean that I'm satisfied because I had $1 million or $100,000? We're talking about numbers now. So.
Do you feel that you are successful economically in comparison to other people or members of your own peer group?
I believe that I'm successful as far as myself is concerned. I can't compare myself to any of my peers because everybody have their own yardstick of success.
So I think
economically
you
speaking.
You weren't successful. Now you're saying you are successful.
Well, I'm talking about
economics. Okay. Please continue. You were saying about success.
Well, when I say I wasn't successful is, when you say successful, that means you're more successful than your peer group,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what I mean that when I say that I'm not successful.
Mm. But by your own
By my own standards,
okay.
I I feel that I'm doing all right. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. And see, success, that particular word has so many meanings, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. You know.
But are you happy with what you do?
Nobody is completely happy with what they do. Because if we are, we wouldn't be alive. We might as well be, you know, in the other place. That's the only place where you're going to be completely happy and successful, right?
Yeah. In your business dealings, are those people who are involved in, say, your clients and whatnot, business associates, were they Chinese?
Yes.
By choice?
Yes.
You didn't want to sell insurance to America? Caucasian?
Not particularly.
Because you don't like them, or what?
That has something to do with it, yes. That's why I said I'm mad they made me a bigot.
Did you have to make any special efforts to, well, I guess your everyday life is with China, right?
Yes.
So you didn't have to make any special efforts to keep ties with every Chinese?
No adjustments, no. Except for the newly arrived, I can't speak Mandarin. I wish I did.
Do you feel that they treat you differently from the way they treat the other, their own, well, the people from China?
Well, you're talking about the newly arrived immigrants?
Mm-hmm.
That treat me differently?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure they do.
Better?
I can't say whether they're treating me better or worse. I have nothing to gauge it by. See, I don't speak Mandarin, so naturally they have to treat me differently. And
but they do treat you as a Chinese.
Oh yes, until they found out I can't speak Mandarin or whichever, or Taiwanese or whichever dialect it is. And I know what's going on in their minds. This poor guy is so dumb he can't speak my language.
Oh. You can tell them you speak another dialect.
I'm just joking.
Totally acceptable. Did you feel that your work has made you more aggressive, more Western? Outspoken.
What do you mean by more Western?
Western.
I'm still Chinese, you know.
I understand, but Chinese are generally associated with being more soft-spoken, indirect.
Oh, I'm not that way, no.
But you never were like that, right?
No, I guess not. No, no. I'm not gregarious.
You're not?
No, I don't think so. Especially when I do with Caucasians, I'm generally defensive or expectant, you know.
I presume you're gregarious with the Chinese?
I'm gregarious with the Caucasians too, but I deal with them a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese, you still have to go back to your old traditional cultures,
mm-hmm,
and manners and courtesies. The Caucasians, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. In other words, for instance, you pay more respect to the elderly.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. I think that's one of the best traits of being Chinese, but I understand now they've sort of forgotten it, treating the elders.
Did you teach your children those things?
Absolutely.
Manners.
They don't always follow my advice, because they're tugging between two cultures. And naturally, they'll take the easiest way out, which is the Western culture. For them to learn the Chinese culture, they have to go to school, learn the Chinese language, and that way they get the culture. If they don't, then after they're going to become more Westernized. That's why I insist that they should always use our family name there somewhere when they have children.
Mm.
You never lose them.
And take